parents is going to be part of us. But also just to indicate, Chair and Honourable Members, that firstly in Mpopa, I think historically you are aware that we had some challenges to visit the province. I think it was last year where we had some challenges in terms of service delivery. But you also indicated that we had some challenges in terms of the human settlements capacity. And I think I'm happy to announce that amongst us here, we have managed to appoint the DDG for human settlements in Limpopo, Mr. Chaube, who will be making a presentation on behalf of the province. We still have the acting CFO. Our CFO, the acting CFO is Mr. Stati, Novo Stati. Our CFO has been deployed or seconded to Thabazimbi Municipality. I think members will be aware that we've got challenges in the Thabazimbi Municipality. We've also made some changes or some reorganization in the departments to make sure that we address some of the challenges on service delivery DG. As from March, we've actually reorganized the human settlements where we have shifted our senior managers so that we're able to have more capacity to deliver. We have Ms. Makamu. She's our Chief Director for Human Resource Reporting and Capacity Building, but also for planning, because we had challenges in terms of planning. So we've actually reorganized the human settlements unit to make sure that we've got more capacity, but also to resource the technical unit to make sure that we're able to deliver. Mr. Chaube will give that overview for the province, but just to indicate that based on the challenge that we had, we are not yet there, but I think we are improving in terms of our performance, Chairperson. Just historically, if we just indicate that in 2013-14, honourable members will remember that the province didn't deliver in a single unit in that financial year due to the withholding of the grant. Yes. But just to indicate that then from there in 2014-15, we managed to deliver about 2,065 units with the expenditure of 583 million. At the end of March, we have managed to deliver 8,554 units. Including fleets, we had 8.634 units with expenditure of 1.1 billion. And I think Mr. Chai will give more details in terms of those particular things. I'm just indicating this to say, as a province, we are trying our best to make sure that we move from the 0% in terms of expenditure and also performance to make sure that we're actually able to improve. Although that is not enough, but I think we're trying our best. We have done this, Chair, with the support of our national department, where they deployed a team in the past 2 years to make sure that we're able to improve. But also just indicate to the portfolio committee that we've also managed to make sure that we rope in housing development agents to assist us in terms of some of the programs like your military veterans, bulk services in the Palale, because also challenges there. And we believe that in this financial year 16-17, we'll be able to move faster. Disaster management also, were challenges in terms of ensuring that we rectify or deal with the disaster units. So ADA is doing those particular programs. And I think we'll be able to give you progress around that, although it's not much, but I think moving forward, we're able to deal with those particular measures. But also as a province, we've actually developed some strategies to say, how do we deal with some of service delivery gaps that we have as a province? That will be alluded by Mr. Chaube when he presents. Over to you, Mr. Chaube.
Thanks, Shoti. Good afternoon, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members, DG. We're just going to give you an overview. We'll start with the 16 year, as well as our plans for 16-17. Chairperson, as the HOD has indicated, we are in a recovery mode, but we have gained traction so far, especially during 15-16. In terms of our business plan, I'll just sum it up. In terms of service sites, we had a business plan that was adjusted to deliver almost 1,627 within the IFDP area and 500 under informal settlements. And to that effect, we have managed to deliver 1,091 sites, service sites in the IRDP areas, as well as 346 in the informal settlement area. These contractors who have delivered this work are still busy. I think they still have an output of 1,600 that they will be finalizing around June to complete the 2.6 variance there, it's 536 as well as 151, which is work currently on progress. It should be done by June. In terms of rural housing, which constitutes our biggest delivery as a rural province chairperson, if you see under planned units, we had 8836 before the rollover amount of 308 million, and with the rollover amount, that unit increases by some 3,326 to 12,162 units, and with the requisite budgets next to that. In terms of the actual delivery, we've delivered on rural housing alone 8,554 units, which is almost at par with what we ought to have delivered in terms of the original business plan for 15-16. And under finance links, we delivered 43 units. I can only indicate that with the rollover budget, so when you have surfaced at 8634, the first unit that you have delivered basically accrued towards rollover, which was work in progress when we entered into the new year. In terms of the military veterans, chairperson, this is a critical program for us, but owing to late appointment of contractors, these programs we have given it to, with other two programs, we have given them to the HDA. There was a slight delay on their part in terms of getting the contractors on site. They have since been appointed. That's why that 125 still has a variance there. But alongside PHP and disaster, they've got contractors working on those projects, and they'll be able to accrue those units within the shortest period of time. In terms of title deeds, last year or the year under review, we have delivered 2,200 title deeds, which was a remarkable progress against our balance of the backlog, which is in the region of 18,000. We have on that one plan to still deliver some 3,000 this year, with the possibility that we can even go much further. And at least in mining towns specifically, as a subset of the whole business plan, flips account for a total of 226 during that financial year, but we only did the 26 units, mainly in the Tabazimbi area. We could not recover units from one of our key projects, Bendo 100, but there is 19 that is ready for occupation. They're just finalizing the bank titling with the buyers, so that by June or so, they should, the first 19 families will move into those units in Bendo 100. I think we visited it, yes. And the contractor has started with a second phase on the eastern side of that site to construct more units in that. So military veterans, as I've indicated, it's part of the HDA, that 125. Mining towns account for 20 units, which are still in progress with them. Rural housing accounts for 2,060 units. And of those, 1,672 have been delivered as part of that 8,634 units. And in mining towns, basically, we only had a balance of 388 units. In terms of, we call it rectification, I always, chairperson, have a discussion with DG that this is completion, because this is work that was left half done by contractors who abandoned sites in our case. We had a total of 500 that we had planned to do, but the contractors that were earmarked for that were appointed in the last quarter of the financial year, and they are on site. But you'll see, as we show you, just a snapshot of the contractors who are working on our site now. Emergency housing, as I've indicated, we had a target of 414, and only 34 were completed. In this work, we had two major contractors, but we said we will only account for work completed. So anything that is still work in progress, whether at World Trade 7, we're not going to count it until it's completed. The CRU chairperson, we had a target of 250 at Marapong, which is Lipala, the mining town. We we were not too fast with procurement in that. We only considered the procurement on during the last quarter of the financial year. To this effect, we'll see in our system permitting business plan, we've got a contractor on site targeting to 250 in this new financial year. The EDBS, we had 250 units, and out of that we managed to effect that transfer of those units to the requisite beneficiaries. OPSCAP, this is the funding that we're using for our HDA mainly because they are helping us in a number of programs in line with our agreement with them. But also we had to request them to augment capacity and find for us the PMU because we're in a crisis mode at that time during this financial year. And they are also paying the PMU from that over and above the work that they were doing previously for us. In terms of land parcels, Chairperson, we had undermined this work in that we had budgeted less, but when we realized that we need to focus more on mining towns, we had to increase there, and then we had to buy two more sites in the Tubate area, which is pretty close to town, to service the demand that has been created by that mining activity in that area. And to that effect, we have secured them. They are planning stages. It's in an area that is highly developed. We are going to get wonderful proper BNG units there in and gap housing in that area. NHPRC are responsible for the enrollment of all our units. When we started the year, we had undermined the commitment to that, but when we had generated almost 8,800 development units in terms of the development areas that we have chosen, we realized that to enroll all of them, it was costing much more than what was budgeted for, so we had to have an adjustment in order to ensure that all the potential homeowners will have been enrolled appropriately in terms of the act. The acquisition of municipalities, there's five of them, with Polokwane being the lead one. We had budgeted 1.5 million. We have expended 772 million, 732,000 to that effect, in terms of getting them requisite equipment that they have to use as they will be administering the HSS on their own. And the other municipalities include Tubate, Makado, that are part of that, and then we are going to be finalizing the acquisition process in this financial year. For 1617, which is the current year, Chairperson, we have planned to catch up on the servicing of sites. The DG used to hammer us last year. It says, once you have missed training, you're not going to achieve your target in the year of implementation. But this time, I think DG, we have gotten that formula correctly. So in the RDP section, planning work, we have budgeted to do 2,524 units. This will mainly go to your Alto State, which is in Lephalale, and the other towns of Makado, Mukhalapwena, and so they will be forming part of that. Over and above them, we still have 2,326, which are mainly in informal settlements. Your Polokwane has got a lot of our informal settlements. They will be serviced from that in terms of the business plan. So there's two portions of sites, which account for about 4,800 sites, have been budgeted 208 million. Rural housing, which is our major issue in terms of units that we generate as a rural province, we have targeted to deliver 7,934 houses across the five regions in the province with that requisite budget of 734.6 million. Over and above that, we are gearing up on gap housing, on finance-linked housing subsidy, with a target of 256 in this financial year. Chairperson, we have teamed up with RECIMA. RECIMA is a provincial based agency, government agency. It's a subsidiary of LEADA, Limpopo Economic Development Agency. Their sole mandate is to deal in affordable housing, and in the same way that NHFC does at national level. So they are our primary administrator and to facilitate the increase in terms of gap housing for our beneficiaries. Emergency housing, we have targeted to deliver 358 units in this financial year with a budget of 29.7 million. Medical beds, over and above the accrual work that is being done by the HTA, we have again, because of the significance of this program, targeted to do 200 this year. Limpopo had that target of 375 as a total output. So we want to dissolve that backlog for medical veterans in these 2 years, which is last year's 175 as well as this 200 for this year. Once we're doing this, then we shall have done our national share in terms of ensuring that the military veterans are properly housed in the province. Probably we're going to be the first province to get 100% of that. We could deliver our 375. As a share of this business plan, mining towns will constitute 1,054 service sites in the IRPP area, which is the proclaimed area, and 240 under informal settlement. The programs that, in terms of the ministerial directives, ought not to be funded without a requisite approval from the ministry include block projects. We have targeted 500. To that effect, we have sent the DG plea and in terms of that MINMEC arrangement, and I hope the DG will look at it favorably so that we are able to finish that work as it's critical. You know, as a rural province, it's unlike in a proclaimed area where if a house is half done, there's no one sitting on it. But in rural areas, that half done house is in a home of another family. So they see that house every day because that's where they live. Whether government comes and complete that house or government doesn't come, that house that is up done will stay with them. So that's what makes our peculiar situation as rural provinces very paramount other than in proclaimed areas. As I indicated, Chairperson, the CRU, we are rolling with Marapong. It's got a target of 514 units this year. We are hoping to do the 150. The contractor is already on site, so it's a less risky program in that we've managed to secure the services of the contractor in, to that effect. The extended enhanced extended discount benefit scheme has got 100 units in this year, and the land we are targeting to do to purchase one land piece. We've got a small budget allocated to that of 20 million this financial year. The NHPRC, as I've indicated, they have to enroll every house that we construct, and this year we've targeted 8,000 sites. Acquisition, as I've indicated, we have to conclude on the five municipalities led by Polokwane. So this information we provided, Chairperson, just to demonstrate to the to your committee that the business plan that we have just presented to you is a low-risk business plan in that with the guidance of the DG, we had to put the HSS number. If you look at the fourth column saying project number, so we have to put the registration of all these projects as well as the approval date, which is the fifth column, when was did the MEC approve those projects. So we had to supply those for the purpose of Parliament to understand that we mean it. The contractors are already listed on column number two with the requisite municipalities. The money that has been spent in the previous year, as well as the money that is available on the last column for this financial year. We have indicated that just so that Parliament understands that we are on a recovery mode, we have mean business. What was procurement difficulties in the past is thing of the past. Just to add that, Chairperson, we are also, inter alia, appointing contractors for 3 years to serve in the database for the next 3 years to finish up this government cycle, so that as and when we take units from people who are not performing, we don't have a 4 months turnaround time to go and advertise them. We simply get the people next on the line in the database and get those units allocated. This we learned from National. I think DG, you were still DG then when you introduced the panel of professional resource teams. So even in our case, we've taken the same model in terms of contractor capacity, the PRTs, so that we don't go back and forth with supply chain, but we have that requisite capacity to be able to be deployed at any time when the needs arise. So these are all the projects. This is just one district, one district, Capricorn, this is central one, this is Waterberg, Chairperson with 94 million, this is Skukune, Vembe, Mopani, and all other districts are gone. So we needed to show this information is available, produce out and circulate it to members. Thank you.
No, thanks, Chairperson DG. I think that's all from Limpopo in terms of where are we, what are the plans that we think that will be able to turn things around.
Thank you very much, Limpopo. You see now, Honorable Fry and Honorable Stoll, because the zeros were scaring you, so Limpopo came with dashes instead of there's dash all over there. There's no zeros because of your fault. But anyway, questions and clarities? Honorable Chauke, Honorable Tole, Honorable Ghana, and Honorable Nene.
Thank you very much, Chair. I appreciate the dashes too. No, my point, Chair, first is to appreciate the presentation and the progress that has been made in that particular part of our country, which is the most rural part of the country. I think we want to applaud the Department of the wonderful work that they're doing. The point just that I want to bring in, Chair, is that an area called Malamulele, well, I have a particular interest. The fact that I'm a member of parliament here, I do have a particular interest in that particular area. The reason that I'm raising this issue is that I think all of us are aware that it has at some point engulfed into a serious violent area, to a point that the president had to do some interventions. I think in that intervention, therefore, the results has been with the demarcation board now is now being declared the municipality now on its own. And I think yesterday and days before, we have observed a kind of action that has happened in the community protest and all of that. I just want to get from the department your intervention with regard to the service delivery there in that particular area, specifically which project that the department has identified to intervene in that particular area. The reason that I'm asking this thing is because that area embarked on that action because of lack of service delivery. And I wanted to believe that the role of the national department, I mean the province together with national, will be to specifically zoom into those areas that need attention and then enter into that so that the community in that area can practically see action, meaning that the service delivery in action. And when I was going through your slides, you have not picked up, either you have in fact recorded in a particular way. Maybe if you can just zoom that for us. As we do this exercise, not only for ourselves, but I think for our people at home, are able to see practically what the government has planned for them. Because it's very important that that community must not be left outside. So it's on those bases that I'm raising this question. Thank you for now.
Thank you very much, Honorable
Chauke.
Honorable Chauke.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for the presentation. Mine, Chair, is that there is nothing that has been said about targeted. They are just quiet on targeted. It is for pre-1994 or new development, there is nothing, I don't know, something like that in other interpretation is the allocation of budget, where there is no planning. They just allocate budget, but there is no planning. How can you allocate budget where there is no planning, where there is no activities on the budget? And the last one, Jefferson, is that one of ratification. 500 rand unit. And,
speak. No, they said 500, and then they said they are waiting in pleading with the National Health Department. They are waiting to be given permission. That's what they said. Honorable Stone. Honorable Gar.
Thanks, Chair. I think mine will be very short and maybe linked partly to what Honorable Stone was raising on ratification. And if I understand Mr. Chauke, and the other Chauke, I also have an interest in Mpopo. So there are two Chauke, and then there's me, you see. In Limpopo, you are completing. That's what you say you are doing. You are not rectifying, you are completing. So I want to know, man. So these people that have taken the... Oh, let me just ask the real question. So the people that built the three-quarter, halfway, or whatever, did you pay them? I know the previous administration of Limpopo was quite in terms of handing out the monies. They were so generous and they were blessers. In today's language, they will say they were blessers. So, have you instituted any recovery processes to get those monies? Because if you are using an additional money, DG, not to rectify but to complete, and people were paid, surely we should try to recover some money because they did not complete all those units. And then I want to check, because Limpopo for the last 2-3 years, Mr. Chauke, has been, when you get to December or November, December, you get a report that 300 million has gone to Eastern Cape, another 200 million has gone. In this financial year, can you put the committee worries at ease and say that no friend will leave Polokwane for Bisho and Nelson Mandela Bay from Limpopo? Because I think me and the Honorable Jauke knows that Limpopo, the need there is dire. And for people of Limpopo to every year hear that there's money that go to other provinces, I don't think it bodes as well for the development and the state in that particular province. Can you assure us that this year no cent is going to Bisho or any other place outside Polokwane? Because that's where every other money has been going. It has been going to Bisho. It has been money. Where did it go? Did it not go to Bisho, DG?
Fine, Honorable Kana.
All right.
Honorable, who's speaking next? Who did I say now? Honorable, who else is going to speak? Everybody spoken. Oh, Honorable Carter.
Sorry, Chairperson. And thank you for the presentation. I'm not going to repeat what my colleagues have raised with regards to their concerns and worries. But just to say that some of the informal settlement in the province relate to a problem that our country is facing, like border crossings. Just want to ask whether there has been any consideration from the department with regards to this problem, because it's a reality, and what is the scale to this problem? Thank you.
Department as in province or national?
I'm sure either national or province can respond to this.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Appreciate the presentation. It looks promising, in particular the plans. Our worry for Chauke is what has happened the last 2 or 3 years. You see, sometimes once you are used into not doing your work, it just become part of yourself. In particular because there's no consequences. You see, we continue having senior officials all these years, and we are paying every month, but the people on the ground are not getting what they are supposed to be getting. So people expect us, government, to deliver to them, and we budgeted, but officials don't deliver. So we all want to be assured, both from the national department and also from yourselves in the Limpopo housing or human settlement department, that our people in Limpopo, in all areas, they must be happy that their government has employed you to deliver, not to do other things. So the fact that many of your projects are really, in terms of the current work, are not really promising. Now you take your flips, you see we have many teachers, we have many police, we have many people that look in terms of that program. You plan 226, you only manage 26. Out of the whole Limpopo in all regions, when you have so many teachers, so you can't have this program move to make our people happy. So it's just an example of many of your projects that are not. I'm tempted to support. I think you pleaded nicely on the block project on the rural areas, that a person will always see this half-done house all the time in the rural areas because it's in the homestead. So as a person who's born in the homestead of Lusikisiki, I am tempted to also expect the National Department to consider your application. But the question asked by my colleague, Honorable Ghana, what happened to that the money that paid the contractor that built the half-done house? Did it get the was there consequences? Is it blacklisted? Have you tried to get the money back? So that before the current issues can agree, I think I am inclined to want to support you, but provided you answer those questions positively. Please help us. You must make us to believe that there's value for money in us having you in Limpopo. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Members. I must say, Honorable Members, one of the uplifting issues on this presentation is the issue of the accreditation of municipalities. You will remember when we were there that all the members that we went to, they were complaining that they are just water boards, that they are not given the responsibility of building houses. Province is the one that is dealing with the whole issue of housing. So I was quite encouraged when I saw in the presentation that there is the move to accredit municipalities both at level 1 and 2, because I think that will also assist in terms of moving the service delivery of housing in that province. It's been a big issue in Limpopo, the issue of houses that are only concentrated at provincial level, without any municipalities having anything to do with this. So I'm just saying it's quite encouraging let's just hope that it will translate to numbers in terms of delivery. Okay, you can now respond to questions and narratives.
Okay, thanks, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. I'll respond to some questions, others Mr. Chauke will respond. The first one is the one raised by Honorable Chauke in terms of the Malamlem area. That on this one, as a province, there's an intervention that was actually done. The province has established an interministerial committee chaired by the MEC for COSTA as the chairperson of governance and administration class, wherein we have actually wrote national departments, state agencies like your road agency Limpopo to actually deal with a variety of projects, like your water projects, road projects in that area, but also as COSTA. There are some units that we've actually delivered around Malamlem. In terms of training for 2016, I think we could also provide details. But I think that the contractor has managed to complete housing units in the previous financial year around Malamlem. But there are various projects that are being implemented in that area. On quarterly basis, the technical committee of the Interministerial Committee on Malamlem is actually able to assess what progress they made. That includes both provincial and national departments, but also state-owned agencies that are responsible for other projects. I think we'll be able to provide more details in terms of those projects if the chair doesn't feel that means provide that. The area that I think will also require more intervention in terms of the new proclaimed municipality area around Wuhan, I think also there are challenges that have been raised by the stakeholders there. I think last week there was an interaction by the Minister of Culture and also our MEC, the King of Bavenda, and including traditional leaders, in terms of ensuring that we also intervene within the wards that are within the Wuhan area. So I think as a province, that those plans to make sure that we address the delivery challenges in that particular area. On the issue of title deeds, I think the information is that Mr. Chair will provide more details regarding the issue of title deeds to Zese province, how many are we targeting. And I'll then request him to also to respond to the issue around the block projects. But I want to indicate to the Honorable Members that Zese department wouldn't pay for the incomplete projects. It was the ones that, because in terms of our payments, we pay in terms of the milestones that have been reached. So in terms of saying we need to recover, I think what we need to do, like previously what we did as a department, we have blacklisted some of the poor performing contractors in the province. So I think moving forward we'll also ensure that we'll do the same in terms of these other ones. The block projects or the retrieval projects, before we could actually implement, NHBRC was appointed by the department to do audit of all those housing units. There are not only 500 honorable stories, there are more than 2,600 units. So in terms of how we are addressing, we are staggering them in terms of the affordability, in terms of the budget that we have. But there are more than 2,000 that have been affected by that particular challenge. But we have actually targeted 500 financially so that ultimately we are able to do that. But we don't only intervene by just saying we rectify or intervene. Wherein we've got the audited report sanctioned by the university in terms of the quality that was there. But also moving forward, those were the previous houses that were built before university was appointed to do quality assurance in terms of the houses. So since we've appointed university, we are not going to be able to do or do that rectification or not have block projects. Because before we could actually pay, university should actually give us assurance that that quality has been done. And where there are challenges, then if there are any other issues after the house is completed, then there will be warranty that we paid by NHBRC. So the projects that we are talking about are prior when the department has actually appointed NHBRC to do quality assurance in terms of the process. In terms of the assurance that will not surrender money, Honorable Gun, is that I need to indicate that in the 2015-16 financial year, at the province we didn't surrender any money. The money that was surrendered was for the 2014-15. For 15-16, we didn't do that. And we want to assure the DG and the honorable members that in 2016-17, we don't believe that we will surrender any money. And we make sure. I want to commit Limpopo to say we will not surrender any money. So, we actually like the project that Mr. Chavez presented, that during the first quarter, I think we'll expend more than 25% of our budget in the first quarter. So that is the assurance that we want to give the honorable members, that we'll implement and will not surrender any money to Bishop Honorable Gunn. So I request Mr. Chauge to deal with the other matters. Mr. Chauge.
HOD, thanks. Thanks. I think let me start with honorable members from Malamlele, specifically Honorable Ghana. Honorable Ghana, we did include those areas in the Malamlele area. We have a contractor called, I think for purpose of parliament I can demonstrate that. We've got a contractor called Link Dot, who is currently working at area in Sulameda area, which covers the areas of Malamlele. It will be places such as Mapapila, Makubele, which is Nkabene Block C, where I come from, Bevula, Ngomgomu, Mashobze, Magona, Tungwane, which is Block C. Yes, so those are the areas that are in your area. So we have contractors currently on site in those areas to demonstrate that government is working in this area. In terms of title deeds, Honorable Stoller, we have delivered 2,200 in the year under review, which is 15-16. We have targeted to deliver another 3,000 this year. And there is still a possibility that we can go. We've actually got almost 11,000 that we needed to do. So we're still discussing, because within the budget that we have, we can cover them. But it's safe to say, let's work with the target of 3,000. But if we can do more, that will be a blessing. Because then you fast track the restoration of dignity on the people who have been staying in houses but without properly owning them. In many cases, we deal with those cases where in the main beneficiaries are deceased and find that that family still didn't have the title. So it becomes a challenge, and most poor families do not have the legal basis nor the funding to be able to go through the court system to try and rectify that, which ought to be our responsibility. So we've got our hands full in terms of that. As a matter of fact, the MEC was 2 weeks ago at Makado Municipality, at Shikota to be precise, where she was delivering close to 1,000 beneficiaries with title deeds. So she takes that work very seriously to make sure that we restore justice on those people who have been deprived for far too long. In terms of planning, Honorable Stoller, the work that goes, especially with servicing of sites, there is planning amount that has been put in place for that. But unlike other provinces that you could have seen that will have huge budget towards planning, we said we are not going to do that because it doesn't account to units. With our expenditure, when everything is said and done, notwithstanding that we spend money on planning, you should be able to look at our expenditure and relate us to the delivery. And rent-to-rent value at an average pricing of about 100,000, you should be able to have a direct match on that. That's how Treasury measures us, basically, to say, if you had a billion rents, do you have any number of units closer to a million? So notwithstanding that you should spend money on planning, on land and everything, but you should be able to get that ratio correct. So we have money that is set aside for planning work in that respect. I think rectification work, I think with the blessing of Honorable Member Memezi, he indicated that we have demonstrated why there is a need for that. As to why it blocked, the HOD has dealt with that. A few years ago, I think the MEC that was ruled for the department back in 2012-13 did blacklist some of the companies. I think the Bobo was the first to blacklist the companies, and we did come to this portfolio committee to report that we are serious about blacklisting companies that are giving us shoddy work or taking us and the owners. Because when we blacklist the companies, if you recall, the IDs of company directors is also taken to treasury, and those people are not allowed to trade anywhere in the Republic. So there is cases. I think DG can talk to that, because there were companies that went to pay up, offered to pay the department, especially in Limpopo, so that they can be removed from that practicing of registers, because they were not able to trade. DG would be competent to do that. He was in the National Department when such offers were made by those people to rectify their mistakes. So I think the other question, Honorable Ghana, was whether we lost money. The HOD has dealt with that. It is true that in the recovery phase, we could not spend the whole month, but we spent in excess of $1.1 billion in the financial year. Of course, there will be a rollover chapter that we are applying for with the National Treasury to try and make sure that those additional units that makes the DG not to sleep, we are able to recover them. So hopefully with that submission that is due at Treasury by Friday, we should be able to, with the support of National, to be able to get that. So once we get that, our delivery for this year will exceed the target that we have indicated to honorable members here, in that we'll be accruing the work that was in progress at the end of March this year. The issues of borders and people, obviously we know that we are a gateway to Africa as Limpopo. A lot of people, before they even arrive in Gauteng or Western Cape, which are the two key areas that attract a lot of people, they arrive through us because they are road economic migrants as opposed to economic migrants. So in the area of Messina, we have got lots of people who come there. Some of our projects that we are doing in terms of services, we are servicing more greenfields in Messina, precisely because some of those people, Jefferson, they permanently reside in the country and then they become the burden of the state to try and deal with the issues are affecting them. So we have to service more people, more sites in the next field area of Messina, but some spread to other areas. If you recall, if you come to Madamla, there was an area that was set aside for the first people who came from Mozambique, but now we are servicing the whole area to try and integrate them. They are no longer able to stay alone. We are integrating them with the rest of sub-Saharan born citizens. So that way they become part of the population. I think the other question by Honorable Memes, I think it was directed at us that do we create value for government really as officials, or we are check collectors. I think we can confirm, probably you will be judged, but we, as the HOD has put his head on the block, but we'll be judged by our deeds. That we were able, in this year that is under review, we were able to push delivery to 8,634 units, which didn't happen in the past 3 years. We hope to do almost 100% of our allocation this year, and that's the promise that we made to the DG and to the minister, that we are going to do that. At least with these contractors on site, it becomes easier, because whereas we used to appoint during the first quarter of the financial year, now we were able to start the financial year as in April with contractors on the ground, having been introduced last year. So for us, it's going to be a leap year this year in terms of delivery. We will deliver on what is expected from us. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tim Limpompo. At least I'm sure for a change, Ivy can breathe better. Because the last time she had to present here, she had to run around. So there's a better improvement. Thank you, Mr. Makopo and Mr. Chauke and the team. We will then see the progress on your promises. Western Cape, together with the city of Cape Town, can you come closer?
I'm Tandum Guli, HOD for Human Settlements. Greeting to all members and colleagues. At the far end, the gentleman sitting there is actually one of the directors in the department, and his name is Rob Smith. Next to him is our colleague in the city of Cape Town, which is Ryan Rubibat, who is responsible for all human settlement-related activities within the city. And next to him is Francois Bivette, who is our CFO within the Department of Human Settlements in the province. And at the back there, the back bencher, is Benjamin Kosi, our director responsible for strategic planning. And Jackie Sampson also sitting at the back, the chief director planning, sitting at the back there.
Where is the MEC? Is he on his way to
the MEC actually asked me, Madam Chair, to actually make an apology to you because his heart is here, but due to other pressing issues, he just cannot be here. He wants to be here. His heart is here. He wants to be here. No. He is in the office. And we are all here now. He's all alone. Okay. I'm going to be actually responding to the presentation, as was actually utilizing the template as was provided. But before I get there, I just want to actually just specify the various issues which my colleague actually asked me to start with, just to tell the committee that with regard to the Provincial Department of Human Settlements in the Western Cape province, the budget has been spent to its maximum to this financial year, and they've been done for the past consecutive years. The targets have been not only reached on both sites, also on TOPS, it were exceeded. And as we progress in the presentation, you realize how where we have actually underperformed, where we have overperformed, but in terms of the total picture, it's exceeded in totality. We also want to actually inform the standing committee that the province is actually currently ready for the current financial year in full steam. Most contracts are already awarded. Contractors that actually delivered for us are actually contractors who are actually still committed to continue delivering the remaining works, which is no cause for concern for the province. With regard to all our mega projects that need to contribute to our MTSS responsibilities, we have already started the planning actions with regard to those, where the professional teams have been appointed, communities to a certain degree informed, activity to a limited degree taking place on others, and on others tenders in the process of actually being actioned, first one being by not later than the 31st of April 2016. So those are the few things that actually I was advised to actually keep you informed, so that we, when we start with the presentation, we are actually on the same level. With regard to our delivery in the various housing codes, starting with the integrated residential development, we have done we have actually had a target of approximately 3,338, and we have actually performed in terms of the site there to 4,216, and we consider that as a sterling performance in total with regard to the integrated residential development units. In terms of the reason for our real delivery there was predominantly on all the TOPS and the sites that we have delivered on those. Then the next one was the issues pertaining to the UISP program, where we had a target of approximately 2,939, and we have actually delivered slightly less there. And the reason for that slower delivery is associated with all the things that you can think of in working in an informal settlement, where you do things in situ development. So all the in situ development glitches that we usually experience when we do delivery in an informal site, people not wanting to move, taking not that they are not going to move, they move, but they move a bit longer than what we expected. Community dynamics, all of those have a tendency of resulting in delaying projects a bit, but it is moving, but it is delaying projects a bit. And a good example is what you can see at Joe Slovo on the N2, the site, because the people are actually residing on the construction path. Then the next issue was with regards to our performance on social housing. And with regard to social housing, we have actually had a target there for social housing to the value of approximately 932. We have actually slightly overperformed there, and we have delivered in the region of 996 and overperformed by 64. With regard to that social housing, we are actually comfortable that with regard to activities on social housing, we are actually on track, and we have a credible pipeline for maintaining the continuous delivery of institute of facilities for social, rental, institutional housing, etc., or CRU. So we have a credible pipeline. In the next presentation, we will actually show you that. And then let me just go to that slide after this one, so that I can show you the credibility of this. This you can see from actually the institutional housing pipeline, which forms part of the social housing deliverables of what we have for now till come the end of term of government. And there are others that are actually still going to be actioned and delivered as the year progress. Because you see that we already have institutions like projects like Our Pride, where we are busy, Harmony Village, where we'll be actioning institutional housing in Parklands, where we're going to action new ones in 2017. In Lentegier, where we'll be starting soon with another 900, and in Scott's Dean, which are actually going to be actioned in 2017-2018. So the pipeline is there, it's credible, it's visible, you can take a drive to some, you see activity. Just before I pass institutional housing, the only concern that we have there, and which we would love the committee to assist us with, is the bracket. The fact that institutional housing is rent to buy for people between 0 to 3,500 is not on. I say this doesn't help us at all. We are having a special request, and we know our national department is looking into it, where we are requesting that let's extend this to at least people who are earning to the maximum of at least 7,000 rand. The reason is a farm laborer and his wife, who is also a farmer, when you combine their salaries, they automatically do not benefit from the free housing subsidy because they earn far more than that. They don't even benefit from this. So we are appealing that to enable us to be able to respond to the client base there. A gardener and a domestic worker, salary combined, they don't qualify for government housing. And if we can actually extend the criteria to at least 7,000, it will enable us to help those people in the lower bracket who cannot be helped by the banks nor by ourselves. Then this brings us now to that was about institutional housing, because we're talking social housing there. The next one on social housing is the CREU. We are just demonstrating the credible pipeline that we have, and just to put the committee at ease that things are on track. We have social housing activities that we are going to do within the Swartland area, the CREU upgrade there. We have others within Scott's Dean. We have in Imizamoye too. We have CREU upgrade at Kwalanga, and others at Langa New Flats, which we still need to determine the figure, which is in planning, and the Langa Siyahlala. So pipeline credible there, fungible. Then the next issue that I just, before we pass, is the potential municipal FLISP pipeline delivery that we have with regard to the FLISP, which is more the finance-linked subsidy scheme, which is more of a financial contribution of the state. We have actually have various projects that we'll be delivering, and for the specific years, as we stated, for 2015-2016, 107. 16-17, 730. 17-18, 669. And 18-19, 1,047. 19-20, 1,700. And four, which comes to a total of 4,273. This excludes the walk-ins. The FLIS is what we give to a person who goes to the bank and earns within a certain minimum salary bracket, where he's actually given a top-up for the house that he purchased. We also receive people who go to the bank and then thereafter comes to us or is referred by the bank, which we call sometimes also those who have already applied to reduce their burden. We are moving, we are actually having that as well. Our total target for this program is actually 11,578. This brings us now to the last, in order to demonstrate the issues about social housing credibility pipeline, which is our land release parcels. If you look at that list, we have a telephone directory of projects where we have taken government land, whether it was in Department of Human Settlements or partly in the Department of Transport and Public Works. We took it to the Department of Public Works, of the Department of Human Settlements, and we actually released it to the private sector to come and assist us in developing gap housing in order to assist those people who are actually cannot be assisted traditionally by the bank, and for them to get houses at affordable rates. And this is the list of all the areas where we will be doing that. I won't go through to them one by one, but it actually demonstrates you have a credible pipeline and comes to a total of 8,238. And just for the record, I just want to say these land parcels are in nice areas. In those areas, it's like nice neighborhoods. It's where predominantly you have your it may not be in the heart of town, but it is predominantly in areas where you would have had your nurses and your teachers and your so-called working class strata. That's what you have there. It may reach Kailicha, but it's not an informal settlement. It is in the place where people had bonded houses. Are you with me? Et cetera, et cetera. So these are the areas where it's situated. The one which is the nicest one is the other one seems to be actually in my own backyard in Charlesville. The other one is in George. The George happens to be in town. It's actually the back of King George, which is one of the lavish hotels that you can find in George called Depot. Let me pass. This brings us now to the last one, the last of those social housing, just to show you, it's still responding to a one-liner, so that I can show you that one-liner is credible by giving you detail, because it doesn't give you detail. The other one-liner is to show you the social housing delivery.
Just for people who are following up on the presentation, is it possible that you're going to make that slide available? Because I'm trying to follow what is interesting to you.
That's fine. Okay, send it to me, just on the social housing, we have a credible social housing pipeline, which brings us up until a total of 3,466 social housing initiatives that we have actioned. One of those, if you look at that photo, you go to the back of UWC and Cape Peninsula Technology, Cape Pentec. I mean, you go to the back, you see that. That is government. That is not private sector. That is government. Full mandate. You see those are the houses that you have already actioned us to do. And on the opposite side of the of Unibail, which is the UWC side, the contractor will be going on site to do now gap market units. We have military vets there, we have nurses there, we have civil servants there. It's actually going to be actioned, a contractor on his route. This project is supposed to finish on the side where he is. On these, this was elaborating on the word social housing. This brings us now to the 2015-2016 MTSF picture for the program. We had a target that we set ourselves, which was 6,277 in terms of units. We have delivered 6,342, which implies that we have exceeded expectation. In terms of TOPS, we had a plan of delivering 10,840. We have exceeded expectations slightly at 10,852. So we are comfortable that we have met the target. With regard to the issues pertaining to title deeds, backlog, we had a plan for ourselves of saying we're going to do 5,000. We have exceeded it slightly because we did 5,125. We'd like to do more, but we will now because National is assisting us in this program. This brings us now to the programs proposed not to be funded by HSDG, proposed. We have actually various programs, but not that much, and we try to be very modest when it comes to deal with this, where we actually had a rectification program. We had a target there of approximately 479, but we have only actioned 277 because we were very cautious to the call that please do not do it, because the instruction to say don't do it came halfway in the year. So we have already actioned, so our overzealousness had to be toned down. And then the next issue was the issues pertaining to community residential units, which is community residential unit upgrade, where we are advised that don't spend too much on it. And we tried our utmost not to, but unfortunately, because of we have actually already started, we exceeded even the target that we set for ourselves, where we have done 560. We'd appeal to this committee on this one. And I know that my national DG here may actually keep me under the table. But when it comes to issues of upgrade, there's something that you must understand. Upgrading is like saying, do I keep my house or do I buy a new one? That's what it says, actually. It says, do I keep the current house that I have or and upgrade it to make it to a better value, or do I go and build, buy a new one and or demolish this one? So sometimes it is necessary. If you think, for a Kryptonian, if you think Nyanga new flats have been there before 1965. It will cost millions to build the whole of Nyanga new flats. But it will be reasonable to say, let's upgrade Nyanga new flats to look elegant. And not only to upgrade it, to paint it, but rehabilitate it. Are you with me? To make it still structurally sound and suitable for human habitation. You spend less. Now, if this program doesn't allow us to do that, it is taking something that would have enabled us to keep a building that has been there for decades. Are you with me? And still structurally sound and absorb and have a lot of people that reside in it. But in the current situation, it is not in a good state. It needs a hand. That is one shortcoming that we think that we need to look into it. So we need some mercy on this one, but we are not going to be reckless and action it without consent of our national DG. This brings us now to the programs that need additional funding. We are trying our utmost as a province not to be reckless with our grant, but there are areas where we need funding. We are trying our utmost sometimes to actually finance some of the things out of our own provincial equitable share, but the figures that we actually have was for the EEGBS, which is predominantly purchasing all old government land, government houses, and you actually hand it over to that person so that he's no longer just a renter in a old state house, but a landowner with a title deed. So we have a target of 20. We have a target of a total budget of about 20 million. We were very modest there. We only did 524. Those were the ones that were easy to do. And we spent only in the region of 3.9 million rand. Then we have the operational capital budget, which need to enable us to do the necessary planning for all our megalithic and catalytic projects that we need to implement in the province, and various other things associated with the human settlements family. We need it in the region of approximately 86,832,000, but we only managed to spend far less than that, which demonstrates that we were very efficient in utilizing the grant and transferring monies to nothing else, to sites at top and tops. We spent only 66,775,000. Then the issue about the other programs to be funded, which is our NHBRC for the various enrollments, where we have budgeted in the region of 30,000,000. We have spent 20,040,000. The units are not in there. It was for a total of 10,990 units. Okay, the next issue is for the MTSF targets. We have various MTSF targets that were given that by our national department and the national minister that we must meet in order to contribute to the national MTSF priorities. We are actioning it with the dedication and commitment it deserves, and we are actually making a pledge and say it here upfront that we are not only going to meet it, we'll exceed it. On the IRDP targets that were set for 2014 to 2015 and 2018 to 2019, a target was set for about 25,239. We are actually trying our utmost to make sure that we contribute to those targets, and actually where possible, try our utmost to exceed it. And that's what we actually can do on this one. And this brings us also to the issues pertaining to the UISP, which is the upgrading of informal settlements, which we actually consider as paramount in the province. And most of the initiatives that we drive as priority here are predominantly in informal settlements. And we bring in people in non-informal settlements as predominantly additions. But most of the activity we do is in informal settlements. And where we do even IRDP, it is IRDP to serve residents who are predominantly, not only, is that not so, Jackie? Predominantly from informal settlement areas. And this is why we are saying that our nature is actually informal settlement. This brings us now to the MTSF plan targets with regard to social housing and rental. We say we have a target of 4,455, and we are comfortable that we will be able to achieve that. This brings us also to the financial interventions, which is all the non-financed and finance-linked subsidies. We are comfortable that we will meet the target there, if not exceed it, because as I said already, that we are going to actually exceed our FLISP priorities, because we already had discussions with all the banks. We are actually going to be entering into contractual agreements with them. We have a pipeline of projects that they already submitted to us, and a list of people that they have for us to finance. So we will exceed it. We are quite comfortable. This brings us to the MTSF plan for the, when it comes to issues pertaining to the total MTSF priority. We are comfortable that we will be meeting our contribution on the service sites, which is about 46,254, which we will have to do at a budget of about 2.7 billion. This is a Western Cape allocation excluding the USDG budget. That is excluding the, so there are service sites that are done in the boundaries of Cape Town are not funded out of this amount. These are all projects that are outside of the boundaries of Cape Town. Those within the boundaries of Cape Town in terms of service sites are funded out of the USDG, which is not counted here. Then we are going to be actually doing in the region of 54,844 housing units, tops, social housing, all those, everything that is a unit, at about 7.4 billion rand, and with the MTSF budget in of about 10.1 billion, that we are comfortable that we will actually try our utmost to work within it and to deliver the target. Then there was a, this brings us now to this year. This brings us to this year, and on the year 2016-2017, as I previously said, that most of our projects have contractors on site. There are those that we are going to be actioning. So we are actually going to be actioning most of our projects, and with regard to the to the IRDP for this year, we have a target that we have set for sites, which is the region of 3,223 at a budget of 210,749,000, we'll be moving with that. That with regard to the UISP, we have in terms of sites in the region of about 1,017, we'll be actioning that. And with regard to the issues pertaining to the integrated residential units in TOPS, we already have the targets that we have set for that, as well as for the sites on the informal settlements. We have already actioned most of that. All of that has been actioned already. This brings us now also to the issue of social housing, which we have slightly covered, but this is specifically for this financial year. Comfortable that we'll meet it and we'll achieve it at the amount, as we stated, at 118 million, as well as the issues pertaining to the non-credit links and the credit links that we will be actually be able to action, which is about 212 and 1,161 at 24.6 million and 58 million rand. Then the last one is, not the last one. Then the next one was the issues of priority projects. Unfortunately, because the template it did not actually give us so that we can actually give you the priority projects. But we will email some of it to you. But I just want to mention it so that at least it's recorded. We as a province have varieties of priority projects which have been approved by the National Minister and MINMEC in November. And one of those is the Southern Corridor covering Bataga, Barcelona, Europe, Kanana, Kosovo, Vuvuzenzele. We included Tabombeki and Tsunami, are you with me, into that category, which are all Southern Corridor related projects and covering also absorbing all those projects that fall under the N2 Gateway Phase 1. We bring them all into one. And we reserve them and we actually call them the Southern Corridor. And all of those will actually cost us in the region of about 10 billion rand starting this year till 2022. So that whole corridor will be different when you look at it at 2023. When you look back, totally different from what you see. Then the next other corridor that we have is the George Corridor, which is in Tembaletu in George, which covers George Tembaletu, Cypress Fontaine, which is next to the airport, and Wilderness Heights, where there are people living in an informal settlement area in a very unsatisfactory condition, where we will be actually commencing activity this calendar year, and we will actually be pushing that initiative through with about 10,000 opportunities. Then we are actually going to do the Friedenberg Urban Regeneration Project with the Saldanha Bay. Specifically, this is the limit, it's just this one. And then there's the Saldanha Bay Municipality, where we are going to be running a regeneration initiative with the municipality there. Then the next one will be the Trans-X, which is more towards Worcester to cover all the victims of farm evictions. Is that correct? Are you with me? Victims of farm eviction. And then the next one, and that comes to about 8,000 opportunities that will be actioning there. Then the last one is Flatterland in Paarl. Flatterland in Paarl, where we will be actually going out on tender in this calendar year to make sure that the contractor is on site and proceed. Then the last one is, on that list, is the Belaar CBD initiative, where we'll instruct the contractor today to go on site on phase 2. Then the last issue, which was actually on this, was the issues pertaining to military vets. We have actually gone out on the, what we did on the military veterans, we have land parcels that you have seen, that long list that we showed you. What actually we did, on some of those land parcels, because they happen to be in nicer neighborhoods, we instructed every developer of those land parcels, look and investigate how many military veterans can be accommodated on your land parcels within the military veterans subsidy amount. Build up a house within a military spec, military best spec, and within that subsidy amount. And some of them are investigating, others are already came back to us, and we will be actioning those. In addition to that, there's an area that we have identified already, and we went with some military veterans, and they were happy with that area where we'll be sending the contractor soon. We are in the dispute resolution area. Slightly delayed, reason was they all came out with amounts which were double the military vets' subsidy amount. So we said, you bring it down to the figure or you walk. And that's what they are doing now. What they are doing, they are doing value engineering to bring the amount down. If it's down to the amount of the subsidy of the military vets, then we'll proceed with the contract. Okay, that's what that is. Of course.
Good afternoon, Chair, good afternoon, members, and good afternoon, colleagues. I'm Ray Raghuba. I'm from the city of Cape Town. My responsibility is the new market development, in other words, the greenfield projects within the city. Just by way of introduction, the city has reviewed the Integrated Human Settlements 5-year plan, which aims to evaluate the current urbanization realities facing the city of Cape Town, specifically its diverse housing challenges. Housing provision is essential for the success of the city's efforts to address poverty, create employment, improve socioeconomic conditions, and create sustainable futures. In this way, the plan also outlines the intentions of the Human Settlements Directorate to go beyond merely building houses and take a more holistic approach to improving existing living environments and create new ones for the people of Cape Town. In developing this plan, the directorate ensured alignment with many of the existing plans of the city as well as national and provincial government. The city has also embarked on a new innovative longer-term strategy which focuses on transversal management of integrated human settlements planning and delivery, and we call this plan the Integrated Human Settlements Framework. There is hence a shift in focus from merely providing from mere housing provision to comprehensive human settlements development and management. This integrated approach has also resulted in the following key strategic developments which will guide our plans and actions going forward. And the first point within the framework is the progressive upgrade of all informal settlements. The second is the increased supply of new housing opportunities through rental units and subdivisions of the city's existing rental stock, where current tenants have backyard tenants. So the idea is to subdivide those larger properties to provide a second opportunity. Third point is opening up new areas of housing development within and adjacent to existing developed areas within Cape Town. Then supporting of the higher density affordable apartment type investments along the transport corridors and priority nodes. Undertaking a focus program to improve home ownership related creditworthiness amongst Cape Townians. Focus communication to adjust and manage stakeholder expectations, and a long-term focused approach to reducing the city's ownership of CRUs. Just in terms of our service delivery ratios within the informal settlements, the sanitation ratio currently stands at 1:4, which translates into just over 43,000 toilets, serving over 152,000 households. Water is at 1:26, which relates to 5,840 taps, serving 152,523 households. Our MTSF targets, if we look at the first line, the 750,000 households is the national target, and the City of Cape Town's target as part of the national target is 83,390 over the next 5 years. And that has been set by the national department in consultation with the province and the city. If we look at what's planned within the city over the next 5 years, including the current municipal financial year, with shared services where there's water and sanitation provided, we have a target of 79,430. Then over and above that, looking at individual households that will receive the one-on-one service, there's an additional 18,947 sites planned. In respect of our upgrading of informal settlements plan, over the next 3 financial years, the UISP and the Incremental Development Areas Program will be allocated in the first year, which is 2016-17, just over 27 million. In the following year, 102 million. And in the third year, 80.5 million. And this will cover 6 multi-year projects. The reblocking exercise within the informal settlement will constitute for now 8 projects over the next 3 years, in the next financial year, the allocation is just under 8 million, increasing to 10.38 million in 2017-18, and then 10 million for 2018-19. There's also the backyard program, where for the next financial year, 12 projects have been identified at a cost of just over 22 million. In the following year, 5 projects allocated 15 million, and in the third year, 4 projects for which 10 million has been allocated. In respect of land acquisition, as part of the integrated human settlement framework strategy, the land availability has been reviewed and the acquisition of more land is recommended. In respect of which areas are targeted for purchase, the city's spatial development corridors, as indicated in the BEP and STF, are the areas that have been identified, and these are the western and growth axes of the city. In 2014-15, approximately 600 hectares of land was purchased, and therefore in the forthcoming years we want to focus more on smaller infill pockets that we want to purchase. In addition, approximately 100 hectares of land has been devolved to the city in terms of the Housing Act. The next point of slide 5.1 is actually an error. But in terms of the average cost of land within the city of Cape Town, we currently pay between 500,000 and 1 million rands per hectare for land. Then looking at the informal settlements upgrading over the next 3 years, in the 2015-16 financial year, there were 4 projects identified for upgrading. These 4 projects would benefit just under 1,300 families, or create just under 1,300 service sites. And in the same 2015-16 year, in terms of providing services to backyarders, we are targeting 2,000 sites for provision of services. In the following year, there are 5 settlements targeted for upgrading, which will realize 3,236 service sites, and again, approximately 2,000 backyarders will be targeted for provision of services. In the 2017-18 financial year, we've increased to 7 informal settlements, with an amount of 5,635 sites in service. But we will also increase the backyard program to address 2,200 sites, which will be continued in the 2018 financial year. And in that year, 2018-19, there will be 8 informal settlements that will see upgrading, with yielding about 6,440 service sites. In respect of the title deeds, the original number of outstanding transfers in the city was calculated at just over 25,000 outstanding transfers. To date, 14,730 have been done, and there's still an outstanding number of just under 10,000 title deeds that need to be addressed. The first 14,000 to 15,000 were the easier ones that were done, but the remaining 10,000 are where there are more complicated issues to be dealt with in either transferring sites or even identifying the beneficiaries that were the original beneficiaries on those projects. In respect of basic services, for 2015-16, 948 water service points were installed, In terms of toilets, 3,091 toilets were provided. The backyard program looked at 2,000 backyards. And in respect of basic services, where services were provided on a one-on-one basis, there were 1,274 individual households that benefited. In the following 2016-17 financial year, we aim to provide an additional 600 water service points or taps, 2,800 toilets, continue with 2,000 backyarders, and for the one-on-one service to increase that to 3,236 households. For the following year, we want to provide 550 water points, 2,700 toilets, increase the backyard services to 2,200, and provide 5,635 families with one-on-one services. In the fourth year, which is 2018-19, there'll be 500 water points installed, 2,600 toilets provided, 2,200 households in backyards getting services, and 7,300 families or households getting one-on-one services. In respect of the proposed catalytic projects within the city of Cape Town, the first one is the Southern Corridor Sustainable Neighborhoods Catalytic Project. And this project will be undertaken in conjunction with the province. The province is currently busy on some of those precincts listed on the slide, as well as planning others. And the city is also in the planning phase of many of the projects, but also on site on some of those projects. In total, 27 informal settlements will be addressed, and these are largely within three sub-programs: the airport precincts, which is being undertaken by the province, then institute upgrades, which is being undertaken by both the province and the city, as well as the mixed-use greenfield developments, some of which will be city and others province. The next proposed catalytic project is the Northeastern Corridor Public-Private Partnership. And this is a large-scale project which includes mixed-income groups and mixed-land uses in the Northeastern Growth Corridor of the city. And there are three particular projects, namely Greenville, Darwin Road, and Marula. And construction of services has already begun on Greenville. The three sub-projects will be constructed across 12 greenfield land parcels within a 5-kilometer catchment area from each other. And they are located close to the N1 and the Fasanta Kraal and Kraaifontein railway stations. They also offer easy access to employment opportunities. The project will accommodate just under 20,000 households by means of a mix of housing programs and typologies, and these include site and service, B&G units, GAP, and open market units. The third catalytic project that's proposed is the Voortrekker Road Integration Zone. Here we're looking at social housing projects which can offer affordable type of rentals that serve specific income groups, which will help the city's residential stock and create viable communities. The aim of this project is to redirect investment back to the corridor in order to address market failures, urban management issues, and ineffective land use management strategies. The Voortrekker Road Integration Zone hosts a diverse range of land uses. These will be residential, commercial, and social amenities, including an educational precinct. It provides a significant potential and it provides significant potential and opportunity to explore renewable and rebuilding initiatives that can transform Cape Town's spatial form and function. The aim is to utilize existing infrastructure networks and to leverage both the existing and planned public transport networks to activate transit-oriented development and integrated settlements, putting communities in close proximity to public transport, employment, and social amenities. A key part of this regeneration drive is social housing, where rental accommodation is managed in perpetuity for lower-income households. In respect of our financial indicators and the capital budget breakdown for 2015-16, you'll see that new infrastructure attracted the biggest portion of the budget, the BRT and public transport the second largest, and then integrated human settlements the third. But within the new infrastructure investment portion is also new infrastructure that supports future human settlement development. This is the city's USDG grant budget for the next 3 years, and the allocation for 2016-17 is just over 1.42 billion, increasing to 1.5 billion in the 2017-18 financial year, and then to 1.58 billion in 2018-19. And if you interrogate that, you'll see that the biggest portion of that allocation, the second biggest portion of that is to human settlements. But if we look at the water and sanitation allocation of 395 million, that also goes to basic services within informal settlements. Current performance on the USDG for the 2015-16 financial year, which will run up to the end of June, is at 43%. There are some major payments that are going through within April, and there is confidence that we will get to 100% or close to 100% by the end of June. In respect of the HSDG targets for the next 3 years, the allocation to the city for the 2016-17 financial year is 725 million, increasing to 739 million in the 2017-18 financial year, and then 839 million in the 2018-2019 financial year. There are 39 projects planned by the city over the next 3 years, as well as 12 projects planned by the province over that same period. This is the list of the city's HSDG funded projects for the 2016-17 and to the 2018-19 financial year, and it lists the allocation per project, reflecting the 725, 739, and 839 million over the next 3 years. In terms of the USDG program for 2015-16, an amount of 12 million was spent on land acquisition. In respect of the provision of internal services for human settlements, there were 30 projects with an allocation of 213 million. With provision of water and sanitation, there were 26 projects which included bulk services as well as reticulation to a value of 408 million. On electrification projects, 113 million was spent on 5 projects. And then in respect of the provision of social amenities, 5 clinic projects with a budget of 4.55 million was on the budget, 30 projects within parks for 48 million, 11 projects to mitigate disaster and risk at 11 million, one library project at almost 9 million, and sport and recreation facilities to the value of almost 29 million for 15 projects. On the transportation side, there were 14 projects with a budget allocation of 339 million. And for trade and investment, there was 14 million set aside. Moving on to some of the challenges that are faced within human settlements within the city. We've seen on some projects, especially projects like Kanankop in Atlantis and Valhalla Park, that there's been issues relating to security, and the city has had to use additional funding for the hire of private security over and above what the contractors have allowed for in the contract. On various projects, there have been community dynamics that have held up projects. And through stakeholder management as well as engaging of ward councillors, the continuous engagement with the community has helped to ease some of those dynamics. There are a few projects that are affected in the planning stage by the issuing of the water use licenses. And one very current one is Makassar, where we've had to look at redesigning the layout because of the presence of wet areas on the site. And lastly, in respect of numerous projects, the escalation in construction costs have been affecting the projects. We've seen increases in tender amounts on more recent bids that went out. In linking the USDG and HSDG, the USDG is used for the construction of critical bulk infrastructure and the provision of internal services linked to approved housing projects. The HSDG is used for the construction of top structures in the city on sites that have been previously serviced through the USDG. The BEP process ensures alignment between the various grant allocations within the city. And we have a template called the Zebra Sheet within the city, which helps us to align the USDG and HSDG funding. Thank you, Jack.
Thank you very much, City of Cape Town. Those are the presentations, both from the province and the metro. Clarity? Question? Honorable staff. Honorable Tata. Honorable Chauke, Honorable Ghana, Honorable Minister.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for your presentation. The first one, Chairperson, is the overspending and underspending. How do they manage? Because the impact on their budget, because it shows that there's a lot of underspending and overspending. And the other one, Chairperson, is that of new development, Taisitik. There is nothing that has been budgeted or planned for the new development on Taisitik. And the other one is the farm workers' housing assistance. There is nothing. There is zero. How come? Because I think we need to Western Cape a lot of farmers or farm workers. And the other one, Chairperson, is that one of the underspending by the department or by the city. By 150 million. How are they going to catch up from that underspending by the city? Because according to their programs of action, they're supposed to spend, but they fail to spend. I think Chet, those are the last ones.
Thank you, Chairperson. You know, I was surprised when you're asking me the question if I want to ask. I do want to ask the city of Cape Town and the province, because I think credit is due, we need to give, but where they are not doing well, we need also to identify that. Starting with province, on FLISP, HOD, I think, especially looking at the current situation that the city, Johannesburg and KZN are the three metros that we are experiencing a huge number of people coming to those areas. I feel very strong that your targets are very low. I mean, if you look at 2015-2016, only 107, 16-17, 730, and then and so on and so on. But I feel that this is the area where we can exploit and get more. I mean, like Babu Memezi will tell you that the teachers, he doesn't want to accept the teachers and the nurses, you know, and everybody, yeah. But I do, I mean, my point is the figures of the Western Cape entirely are very low. And then with regards to land release parcels, you mentioned the 8,258. I just want to ask whether is this current financial year or over a certain period? And also the title deeds problem, that is very low. You cannot be proud to say with the historic title deeds that you are facing, 5,000 the financial year is enough, that is very low. So I think you must also make sure that you add that figure. I was also very much interested, you mentioned programs proposed not to be funded by HSBG, and then you also mentioned to say there was somebody, there was an instruction to say don't do that. And we're already in the middle of executing that program, exactly what happened. And the military veterans, we know that this is a national program, and I'm glad that province is also tapping into that program. But I think for me, to ask the contractors to say, from the programs we have given you, please identify how many houses for military veterans you can be able to do at this group. I think the directive has to be clear to say we want so much from the projects that you are already executing. Coming to the city of Cape Town, upgrade of informal settlement rate, I must register my disappointment though, Chairperson, that Ray is here on behalf of the city, and we cannot see the MACO member or even the executive director. Obviously, I'm sure they have confidence in you to come and present, but I would have loved to see the executive director to come, because I believe you are feeling you in the city, we're in province. And but I just want to register my disappointment, and I feel that the city is not taking this portfolio serious, because looking at the challenges that the city is facing, I think it was the opportunity of the city to come and give the confidence to the portfolio. With regard to the upgrade of informal settlement, I know in the city there is a program where you have identified the informal settlements that are upgradable and those that are not upgradable. And I would like to give this portfolio as to where are you, just briefly, in terms of that, and also coming to the issue of land. I might have missed it, Ray, but I did not see on your presentation to say one of the challenges that the city is facing is the issue of land. And perhaps that is sometimes one of the reasons where we see protests in some of the areas of the city, because the city is running out of land. I think we must also give confidence to this portfolio to say what are the challenges with regard to the purchasing of land, and where do you think national government can assist the city, especially on the issue of land. I must also add to my colleague underspending of 150 million. I was hoping to see a detailed plan on high level to say this is what is going to happen, and I know the DG did mention in the morning when the KZN was here to say the city of Cape Town 150 million. And I'm glad, DG, that, I mean, the Treasury said they don't have capacity to do all those transfers today. This money must go in that direction. But what is the plan of the city with regards to this 150 million, and perhaps, DG, what is the plan of national government? What is going to happen with this 150 million? The last one, Chairperson, the issue of the title deeds. I read in your slide you said 25,000 is the title deeds, I think, outstanding, yes? And then corrected to date. What do you mean? Does it mean you have given those title deeds to the people that they deserve? Or I did not understand, and then you have total transfer of outstanding 9,000. So I think you must just use the right terminology because it's confusing when they corrected to date. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Honorable Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think colleagues have covered most of my points. I'm not going to repeat. But the point I want to ask maybe will be currently with what we saw yesterday or day before yesterday, the Danone situation. Maybe if you can just share with us what are the interventions that I was trying to go through the document here, either it's classified in a particular way, to see your intervention in that area. I don't see it. Maybe if you can just elaborate on that, what's called a situation and what interventions that you are doing and what are the plans there, because the area is just exploding because of people are suffocated in that corner there, and it seems there's no movement, hence people decided to go and occupy land outside there, and I think it's one example of an intervention that I want to hear.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, I'll try to be brief. I've got a few questions. I think the one was touched on the 150 million. But one thing that I mentioned, I noticed, DG, and this I kept this question waiting for Cape Town to come so that I can ask it to Cape Town. I remember there was a bit of, in fact, there was a lot of noise around the municipal capacity grant that is not being transferred to Cape Town. And then when it gets transferred to Cape Town, we don't spend it. I mean, so we say this money is not coming, and then we fight in the committee, we force the minister to release the money. Then the money gets to Cape Town, Cape Town doesn't spend it. Okay, that for me, it doesn't reflect well, especially when the money is supposed to capacitate you to spend, and there's 150 million that you haven't spent. For some reason, maybe it can be argued that it's capacity. So I think generally, DG, I kept this question because I wanted Cape Town, because Cape Town was making noise, and I was making noise on their behalf as well, to tell us why did they not spend the capacity grant. And then on a more national scale, DG, none of the metros that came here, actually, none of the metros. And I know that in the current financial year, which is ending on the 30th of June, they still have the last stretch of the capacity grant. But none of the metros, all eight of them, none of them, has actually highlighted their failure to spend on that goal. So it's like, all right, because in the next financial year, the capacity grant will not be there, then we don't need to report on how we've been unable to spend. You know, and that's something that, for me, it doesn't sit well. I kept this question for Cape Town, and now Cape Town is here. Unfortunately, you will have to respond, also maybe responding to, for the other guys. And then, you know, I'm a public representative, and I represent the public. So the public, sometimes they give me questions, even though I don't understand them much. But apparently there's a housing project in Belhar that has been stopped, HOD. Do you know anything about it? And if so, what is the status of that particular project? And the last one, and this one, HOD, relates to the transfer of land. And you must be very much aware of the current conflict that is going on regarding a piece of land in Sea Point apparently was earmarked for human settlement development, and then Public Works sold the piece of land to a school. And so one is to understand, in terms of that piece of land, was it a city-owned piece of land or Public Works sold it directly to this private school? Because, I mean, one of the things that we discuss it here is that if there is suitable land in and around, well-located suitable land that is in the hand of the state, that could be used for human settlement, it should be used for that. But this particular piece of land, and I understand that it's going to court, because there are people who say, no, it was supposed to be human settlement, but then the National Department, Public Works, decided to sell the land. I don't know whether there are any intervention insofar as that's concerned, because I understand that even the national department is being cited as one of the respondents in the particular. That's the report that I'm getting, Gigi. If that's not the case, you can clarify me. But it's something that keeps on coming, and I just feel the need to ask the question in here. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much. I think some questions have been taken by honorable members. I think we must also thank the presenters. I think they were very good, different ways of presenting. Very good, very good. They did good. I think the point of poverty and informal settlement around our country is something that, as government, we want it to be quickly sorted by upgrading or eradication of informal settlement. So when indeed there's a lack of spending, definitely the portfolio, we are not happy. So we would want, at least on those, because this is for the poor people. You see a lot of informal settlement even around the airport. So the more you focus on it and ensure that there's expenditure. So I think my colleagues have noted it, but I must say the report you are giving the province and the city of Cape Town was also comforting. So you really touched on important areas. I think we'll fix up those poor spending so that the people in the informal settlement all over Western Cape have a reason to see that indeed this area is also thinking for them. I noted your proposal, province, that you kind of that institutional housing benefit to combine to get to 7,000. I thought it's already there. So maybe DG, if it's not already there, then I think it's something that must be considered. I think you presented it nicely. It's something that, from where I sit, I thought is already at that level. Flips. I think you, compared to other provinces, from where I sit, I think you are really moving. You even said the banks have come now with more other numbers that they have approved, so which is not what we are getting in other provinces. So I think maybe the National Department should link up this provincial department with those other departments that are struggling. Because it's the same bank, we have four banks, big banks in South Africa. So if they are able to help teachers, police, nurses here, why can't they do the same in Rustenburg? So I think, do they, people have to speak Afrikaans in order for that to happen? So the National Department must come in, to ensure that we learn from each other. You see, so whether it's Afrikaans, there's no harm, don't worry. Don't defend it. So, but it's important that the whole of South Africa must learn from each other. I think I like that you are saying more are coming already. They have been approved by banks. So we really want more. And I would even be more happy if teachers that are in a squalor situation are also, it's not like approving those that might be from already a better situation, are considered. So I think, but you presented a better picture than other provinces in terms of the flips. I'm quite happy. The issue of, I think the over expenditure on the CRUs, I think my colleague Stoller did speak about it. I wonder how is it done when you spend almost double, you see. So, but I also like what you were talking about, Sando, the Worcester victim, of the palm eviction victims, so that we are taking care of them. So that's what we indeed want to see. It can help the farmers evicting the people, and then as government we don't do anything. So I'm happy that those that are evicted on farm, they must now see that our government in South Africa is attending to their situation. But we also call on farms to stop evicting our people. It's a wrong, it's a bad thing. You can't be evicting people today and think we'll be happy. You see, I think we must at one point name and shame those farm owners who continue to evict people for no reasons. I think we must live together today. So, but thank you very much. I also saw that you are working on military veterans. So I think if you can move even faster, but it's promising. I think you promising. Thank you very much.
No, thank you very much, honorable members. I think we can't overstress it enough, the fact that the spend on USDC is a worrisome fact. Earlier on in the morning, we were drilling a Tebwini Metro, and their spend was at 47.3, and you are sitting at 43%. So we really are worried. We hear the fact that you're saying you think you're going to spend by the end of the financial year, but for us, sitting on this side, particularly because it's been a trend, you are one of those metros that have not been able to spend the USDC grant to finish. We don't understand why. Why can't you spend this money and finish it and come back and ask for more? What stops you from spending this money? We don't understand. So for me, it's a worrisome factor, particularly because we know that there are challenges in the state of Cape Town. So we can't understand why you're not spending this money. It's something that you must go back and think about and see how in the next financial year you can do that. There's one area that when you were presenting, particularly the city, we talked about subdivision. I couldn't understand exactly what that meant. If you probably can explain to me the subdivision program. And I just want clarity so that I can understand it better. Already, the Honorable Ghana has asked the issue about the land in 6 points, because that one is already all over the news. It's something that I'm also interested to hear about this land parcel in the point that it claimed that it's been sold when actually there's a problem here of land. So we would want to understand what's going on there. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. First, the issue of the HOD from the city. We will try and convey the message, because this is the only city that has not been represented by an HOD. All the other 7 cities have been represented by HODs in this session, and all the provinces have been represented by HODs. So that's something that we will try and communicate to the city of Cape Town. The issue of the institutional subsidy that exercise will be serving it will be going to NINMEC. It's an issue that was raised by MECs almost 6 months ago. The head of policy is dealing with that issue. It will go to NINMEC. Because we wanted to look at both instruments, the CRU, the social housing, the institutional housing. In fact, we'll be changing the bands because right now, those bands, the point that the HOD was making, some of the bands don't make sense at all. So we will be looking at it, and the head of policy, Dr. Sokop, is managing that with the team. So I think the HOD is aware as well that that's something that National is attending to. The issue about the school, this is a very interesting issue because I, in my previous life as an HOD, I wrote to the Department of Public Works objecting to the sale of this land because we felt it's a well-located piece of land in Sea Point, and it's provincially owned. It's owned by the Department of Public Works. Maybe what has confused you is the fact that you saw my signature there on the court papers because I'm being quoted as one of the people who objected to the sale of the land. That was when I was the HOD in the province. It's not owned by National Public Works. It's owned by the Provincial Public Works. The Provincial Department of Human Settlements objected to the sale of the land, and you'll see in the court papers, because the court papers are in public now. There's a website where you can download all of that information. Maybe we shouldn't discuss it too much because it's subjudicare. But the issue is there's one NGO that has objected. They filed court papers. Some NGOs are doing a good job in terms of keeping us and governments on check in terms of the assets that we own. We still believe that it is a well-located piece of land. In Sea Point, it was a public school owned by the government of the land owned by the government of the Western Cape. And we also view that there is a good opportunity there to integrate communities, to bring African and colored communities to Sea Point. Because if you sell, if you want to buy a piece of land in Sea Point, or if you want to buy property in Sea Point, you can't afford it, even if you earn 20,000 rand. It's beyond reach. So this was an opportunity for government to provide me the rent to buy or to provide affordable rental. We did the feasibilities as early as 2008 together with SHRA and the Association of the Social Housing Institutions. And those feasibilities are there. The Department of Human Settlements in the province, they've got the study, SHRA, they have the study as well. So feasibilities were done long time ago. And we still believe that this is a good piece of land, well located. It can create big opportunities for most people in this city to get closer to town and to get closer to amenities, and also to deal with apartheid legal, apartheid special legacy. Then there was a question about the performance, the 150. You will recall that both Ekurhuleni and Cape Town are sitting at 43% right now, expenditure. We left with 2 months before the end of the financial year. So we took this decision and we went to Treasury. In fact, I've arranged a meeting for next week, Wednesday, with National Treasury, with the DDG responsible for the IGFR, the Treasury, to discuss this part, because we all have the view that in their vocabulary, the word performance does not exist. In fact, I made this comment to the DDG at Treasury, because I'm of the view that if we want to keep the money in the sector, then we need to find the means and ways to move the funds from poor performing metros to high performing metros. We recommended that we will move the funds from Ekurhuleni to Joburg because Joburg is doing well. In the case of Cape Town, we recommended that we must move the funds from the city to the province, but you still keep the budget within the city of Cape Town. The original proposal was to move the funds from the city to Nelson Mandela Bay Metro, and then the MEC came back with projects, with practical projects, where you have contractors on site within the city of Cape Town, and recommended to the national minister that we must use that $150 million for projects that are managed by the province of the Western Cape. One of those is Bela CBD, it's been listed there. Then there is another project which has just started now. They're busy with the planning, so I think it's Conradi. And then there is Maspumelele as well, but Maspumelele is managed by the city. We ring-fenced an amount of about $24 million for Maspumelele. There are about four or five other projects that are managed by the province, which we felt that, in fact, it didn't need us at national to recommend to the city of Cape Town to move part of the funding to the province, for the province to manage those projects, because the projects are being managed and implemented in the city of Cape Town. The city will benefit out of that. But we've taken that decision. I've written to the HOD and to the city manager in the city of Cape Town and asked them to meet and make sure that we shift the 150 to the province. We still of the view that even if you shift the 150, the province is not going to spend all of that allocation. Even if the 150 is moving, we've done our own assessment. The latest assessment was done last week, but we will meet with them again. After the meeting with Treasury on Wednesday, we'll have a follow-up meeting with the city to check if they will be able to spend the remaining amount. The 43% is at the end of March, which is almost two weeks, a fortnight ago, which tells you that this is not an outdated figure. It's a recent figure. And that's why we're saying we still hold the view that the performance is not low risk, it's medium risk, but it's, at this stage, they're not out of the woods yet. The same can be said about Kevin, I think we said that this morning as well, and Ekurhuleni as well. But the MEC of Gauteng and Ekurhuleni will do exactly the same thing that the MEC of Human Settlements in the province has done. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Specific responses to both the province and the metro?
I will actually. There's a question about the capacity grant, this one, because it was directed to us as national. The capacity building grant is not performing. That's why I was hoping that the CDG chain will respond to this one, because he has met all the metros, and none of them are performing. The only difference is that Cape Town was making the biggest noise. Maybe that's why you picked it up, that they're also not performing. But no, the metro was on radio. They even threatened to take us to court. But the issue here is that this is the last year of the Human Settlements Capacity Building Grant that goes to the metros. But what we will do, we have allowed the metros, you will see it, even in the USDG policy, that there's a 3% upscale, if you like, that will come out of the USDG. In other words, they can take 3% of the capital grant, which is the USDG, and use it to fund their own capacity. But the question still remains, if they're struggling with this capacity grant, will they spend the 3% going forward? But we will look at those business plans, and the DDG chain has been working very closely with them. In fact, we wanted to use a portion of that capacity grant that is not performing in the cities for asset verification and for creating an asset register of all the projects and the assets that we are taking in the meeting. But that's something that will come back to you and will be presented to you once we've concluded this. I'll leave the rest to the HOD and the team.
I will try and share all the responses with my team, and I will take whatever question they have not responded to satisfactorily. I'll start with Jackie.
Thank you, Chair and members. I'll go through some of the comments and respond to some of them. And I'll start with the farm housing assistance and also just give the housing assurance that although we don't have a project that specifies farm workers as beneficiaries, we do look at the region, like in the Cape Winelands, your Stellenbosch, Drakenstein areas, where the evictions are prevalent, and we ensure that the beneficiaries of projects in those municipal areas do provide an allocation to, but though we don't call them farm workers, farm residents, so people who have lost accommodation who currently or who lives on farms. And then with regards to the FLIP targets, the FLIP is the proportional percentage of the national grant is 11%, and our target for FLIP is average of 11% for the divorce national target. So our targets are in line with our proportional DORA allocation. The land release project specifically for FLIP is over a certain period, and we also create a pipeline so that even after this MTSS series has ended, that there is projects in place and planned for the following period or MTSS series. Title B targets are low. We've got our approach, obviously we have 394 where there is a significant backlog, and we've heard from other provinces that there are issues of contested ownership where the original owners or beneficiaries are no longer in the houses, heritage issues, divorce issues and so forth. So there of the 22,000 originally there's about 4,000 left, and those we also have to have like a Title B tribunal to address those specific cases. On the post-94, there is a backlog, and we I think we addressed about 42%. We can give you the specific figures. But we also very progressive in the new project that we launched. We have a retainer, so we have a minimum of R1,000 that we retain on projects, so that there's an incentive for developers to actually conclude the project by handing over Title B. Because before, it was R100 or R300, they could easily walk away and then just write that off. So we retain a larger proportion for the developers to have an incentive to ensure that the Title B is transferred. The military veterans, we look at specific projects where we target them, and we take the comment or the suggestion from the House that we also in future look at projects where there's a specific allocation reserved for military veterans. But we have specific targets approved by national in line with the national targets. We got a response on the task of land in Seapoint. Poverty and informal settlements, we thank the member for that coming. We, in 2012, introduced the ADS program at that break. So not putting a stop on informal settlements. The objective for informal settlements is always to improve the living conditions of people. And interventions at informal settlements, when we introduce access to basic services, is to improve access to water and sanitation. We now taking that, furthering that by providing a informal settlement response or support plan where we look at other interventions, because we acknowledge that informal settlements are there to stay, but we want to improve the living conditions by improving safe and functional access to basic services. So when we say water and sanitation, we don't say that there's water and sanitation or toilets at the periphery, but they also provide safe access for households. So we're looking at that and see what intervention is necessary also to create a settlement where you must provide social, economic opportunities, transport, improve transport and access to opportunities. We will certainly share our plan for FLIS and how we can accelerate with other provinces, so thanks for that suggestion. I think that covers most of it. Rob, is through you, Chairperson, can our grant manager can look at the over and under expenditure and how we dealt with that. Thank you, Chairperson.
Good afternoon, Chair and honourable members. Just in terms of the variations, we need to just be a lot more careful when we do our shifts during the year. What happens is if a certain project or program gets stuck, we divert funding to another project. And in the course of this year, we did get stuck on a lot of our UISP, our upgrade programs, where people refused to move, and we moved the money, for example, to RVP. So what it's meant at the end of the year is that we've got an underspending on the UISP and overspending on the UISP. And that we'll try and manage a lot better next year by moving within programs instead of moving away from the program that was involved. We do try and as well to keep, if we move funding, to keep it within the region that we're moving as well. but we'll just try and manage that a lot better. Overall, it all comes to the same thing. We still spend the money, but the variations are a bit more than they should be.
Chair, if I can, I can respond on the city matters. I think the issue of the underspending was discussed by the DG. If I can talk to the upgrading of informal settlements, we realize that there are various categories of informal settlements, those that can be upgraded, those on private land, those on state-owned land, and then those that can't be upgraded as well. In the cases where informal settlements on land that can be upgraded or formally developed, then we generally start with the reblocking exercise, which just helps to space out the families and move towards giving them one-on-one services as well as title. But knowing that in time, the structure that they get can either be the existing structure that they're in or some form of temporary structure that's more durable than a shack. But where we know that it is not upgradable, we know that we have to then identify another piece of land elsewhere to relocate those families. But in the interim, we then provide shared services or basic services to those families. Remember, Gaza also spoke about the issues relating to land within the city. A lot, or most of the land in the city is held in private hands. And that makes it very expensive when the city has to purchase land. Recent purchases have been around R1 million a hectare, and that has been for a few years now. There are also large pockets of state-owned land, like Wingfield, where it's held by National Public Works, but there isn't currently a willingness to release it for housing development. And there are other pockets of state-owned land that is held nationally that could be used for human settlements within the city that's well located and that could provide better opportunities. I think between the province and the city there has been various discussions and requests to the National Department of Public Works, but thus far nothing positive has come of that. Then there was also the issue of what does corrected on the title deeds mean. I think there was a comment about the Afrikaans, and I think here the Afrikaans translated into English didn't come out too correct. But essentially it is those that where the title deeds, or where title has been transferred and issued, the title deed has been issued to the beneficiary. So it means that we've actually decreased the backlog in outstanding title deeds, and we've corrected the situation in terms of the beneficiary not having title. They now have title on those 14,000 odd units. In respect of Dunoon, I think that the big problem there is the scarcity of land. There is some land that's owned, I think, by Transnet, but it's a sliver of land. Our planning component within the city has been looking at an alternate development which moves closer to parklands and that area. And we would have to start looking at planning that piece of land to relocate families from Dunoon closer to parklands. The bigger issue though is there are work opportunities much closer to Dunoon. You've got Killarney Gardens, which is very close by. So moving families to parklands means increased transport costs for them. Even though they may be in a more in an improved human settlement environment in respect of family life and education and things, I don't think they would have the same access to work opportunities in Parklands. But looking at the city, the possible growth areas are moving north up the west coast, beyond Parklands and those areas, where there is land available, and land that is, it may currently be agricultural or undetermined in terms of the zoning, but we would have to look at acquiring and moving families from Dunoon there in time. We have been talking to developers who own land in that area, and we've insisted that as part of their new developments, where they do middle to upper income developments, that they provide a portion of their land for subsidy type developments. They haven't been keen to release that to the city because they don't want to see the very basic type of housing within their upper market developments. So in one particular case, and I think it came up earlier in Parklands, the developer has brought in Cape Town Community Housing Company to do institutional housing so that there is an element of subsidized housing within the new development, but it will be done to a higher spec so that it won't affect the value of the upper market developments. But it will be for people currently earning up to 3,500 rands. Then the Belha FinTech project. That project was actually awarded to a contractor, I think, about 2.5 to 3 years ago. And the contractor initially had difficulty providing the guarantees, the insurances, and cash flow to undertake the project. So the contractor had been moving slowly on the project, but eventually in January this year, the city decided to terminate the appointment because the progress wasn't good enough. I joined the province as the city in February, and since then I've been going through a process to re-advertise and call for new tenders on that project to appoint a new contractor. So the old contractor is completely off the site. There is a concern in the city that there is work done on the project, and I think it's to the value of about 2 million rands that has been undertaken. And we're just concerned that it may get vandalized or deteriorate. So we want to get a new contractor onto site immediately. The project is about 340 sites, so we need to get going fairly quickly on that one. And then lastly, Chair, you asked about the subdivisions. What we found that is in the city's rental stock, where they are either individual houses or semi-detached houses, but the land or the earth size is fairly large, people have been renting out their backyards. So the city is looking at the possibility then of subdividing the bigger properties because it belongs to the city to create a second house on that site and give a second opportunity. So it will densify the old rental stock but create new opportunities with formal houses rather than people renting out their backyard shack. Thank you.
I just wanted to conclude. Thanks, Madam Chair. I just wanted to conclude on the areas where the team have covered, but where we can just make sure that every area is covered. There was an issue raised about the over expenditure and under expenditure, and I knew where it was coming from. And in addition to the response that was given, we must just remember that an organ of state, just as national, decides to say, I'm going to take from Western Cape and give it to so-and-so, so does the province within the boundaries of the province. In the event one municipality, which have been allocated substantial funding to do human settlements, and they are not moving fast enough at a certain time, we as the province have the prerogative and the responsibility to divert it to the area that is delivering. Because if we don't do that, we will end up being under performance and under spenders. and people not getting assistance. When areas performs well, we will actually take from the underperformer and give it to the ones that actually perform with it. And this is what we do, the rejuggling. That's why you see it was a bit tense in the last week in the newspapers, the issue about we took money from here and we took it to there. We understand. We just want people must just appreciate it. There's no malice intended. We want those the projects that we started haven't stopped. The problem is the people are just moving too slow to absorb the money. And they rather underspend than to use the money for useless undertakings, and we divert it to the right directions. The issues about the title deeds, we understand ourselves. It's regrettable that we didn't do well. And we understand why. Most of the title deeds currently outstanding are the ones that are the most difficult to resolve. It's either change of owners, which need to be resolved. It's death of parents. It's disputes in families. We need to actually do a very difficult task now. All the easy ones we push through. The ones that are left are the most difficult ones. It's about families among themselves. It's not about it. So just bear with us. We have set up a special division within the CFO's office just to focus on historical title deed backlogs. Not current, historical ones. And those which are the toxic ones, which need really groundbreaking decisions. We will consult national as well constantly as we are going to make decisions, but we just need to make a decision. Then the next issue was the farm worker. I just want to just say it again. When you actually render a service in a rural area, you do not do a reclassification of people, as Jackie has responded. We say it's just human beings that are residing in that area. They have been evicted by that person who owns that land, and we will accommodate them. The reason that we are actually pushing so hard to make sure that Transex and Flakkerland flies, one of the problems is that we are just numb. We don't know how to respond as an organ of state. So that is meant for farm workers, but we don't report it in our documents as for farm workers. It is because it includes people who are evicted from farms as well as backyarders in those neighborhoods. But the way you classify a project sometimes can make people to develop an operation vala. Then you'll have another problem in that neighborhood that no one allows somebody else to come in. So we rather keep it open, but at the back of our mind we know is to attend to their needs as well. Then there was the issue about the FLISP. Our target for FLISP exceeds expectation. We have already said our target for the MTSF is 11,758. Everybody knows it in the department, and we are actually working towards just accelerating it. That is the number. There is no other number. So the numbers you see here are modest. The land availability agreements that we have signed, predominantly those are initiatives. Predominantly. That's for teachers, nurses, clerks, admin officers, everybody who is having a job, including at a lower strata. So those are blessed. So we have actually actioned everything that you can think of. It's already action. It's just now for it to yield fruit consistently between now and 2019. We want to also make a word of thanks, Madam Chair, for the comments that were made that were positive. Siyabulela sithenkosi. We will try to inculcate some of the recommendations into what we are doing on a daily basis.
Thank you very much to the province of Western Cape and the Metro of Cape Town, City of Cape Town. Thank you so much for coming through. It was a good induction. We hope you took it in good faith and you will be able to learn some things out of it. That takes us to the end of today. Tomorrow, officials and honorable members, we are doing entities, and there is 8 of them. We are starting at 8:30. We are starting at 8:30, and the venue is M46. So we just want to just that. M46 in Max Building, we are starting at 8:30 so that we don't catch you too late. Hopefully, so that we can finish more or less this time. Tomorrow, 8:30. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.